Are you interested to know more about microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue? Then we have an announcement for you before we start with today's podcast. You might know that we have been very fascinated with microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue. There are several podcasts that cover that topic. And now we offer a four-week online course where we translate microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue into solution-focused practice. The course starts on May 4th, so come check it out and go to www.sfontour.com/microanalysis.
Young people need to be invited. They need to want to participate. So we cannot have that assumption that simply because we plan, you must come, or because it's free, you must come. You know. So we need to understand that young people are just like any adults. In fact, they're even smarter than some adults.
That is Simply Focus with Avery Channing and Dominic Gilda for Live and JND.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godin.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to episode number 96. We're here with Cho Chan today from Singapore. Hi, Cho.
Hi, hello.
We're so excited to have you here. You're in Singapore in your office and you're head of youth services at Reach Community Services. And it was so nice the other day when we had a little tour of your youth center where you showed us all the things like the gym, for example, or the basketball ground outside and the things you do. And we're really, really thrilled to have you here on our podcast. So thank you very much for being here with us.
Yep, happy to be here too.
So we met each other a few years ago in Frankfurt at the conference, and we particularly stayed in touch over social media. And Dominic and I are big, big fans of how you reach out to young people, of how you communicate that on social media, and of the way you do your work. So we are really happy to talk about that today and to make things even more visible, how you work as a solution-focused practitioner with young people.
So to start with, what fascinates you with solution focus?
Well, right now, what fascinates me is really my research project that we are doing, actually currently together with Debbie Hogan from Academy of Solution Focus Training here in Singapore. So she's basically my mentor and the one who, you know, trained me in solution focus. So we are actually embarking on a research project that we are looking at to find out actually what works with young people in terms of what the solution focused practitioners, in terms of their inputs, in terms of the factors that they bring into this piece of work. We're not talking about program evaluation, because a lot of the programs here, youth program particularly, is big on program evaluation. But we never really joined the link between what a practitioner can contribute to the outcome. Yeah, so I'm actually very fascinated right now to see and draw the connection and find out the growth and the development of the practitioner in terms of their learning, their development, and then map that onto the impact on the service users at the end of the day for the young people who go through the programs and services, and figure out what is the X factor, so-called, and then hopefully be able to replicate that with the entire staff team. And I mean, one of our aims is we want to be the go-to place for solution-focused practice in Singapore for youth work. Yeah, so that's one of our dreams, and we hope to be there one day. Mm. Yeah,
it seems you're on a good way already.
Thank you.
So, Cho, where are you with this research project right now?
We are right now at the end of phase one, actually. We started this project in November, where we actually sent 16 of the practitioners from our agency through a SFBT level one training with Debbie. We did a pre and post of the training when they went through the whole, you know, process, classroom learning and all, and went through 5 sessions of post-training coaching follow-up to just see how the practitioners are applying their practice. And we did qualitative interview with every single one. We find out from their perception and perspective what has been applicable in their practice after the training. So basically, we were just very curious, how did they develop their practice? How, in their perception, was SF useful for them? So we wanted to capture all this so that we could really, really get a rich data of what is it like really to grow and develop as a practitioner. So we are at the end of phase one. We did analysis of the interviews. We did thematic analysis of all the interviews.
So now, of course, we are also curious what you found out. How did solution focus influence their practice?
Of course, many of them who went through the training reported that it's been useful simply just by the quantitative data that we collect based on the pre and post, just in terms of how much more they understood about the SF framework and approach. There was actually a statistical difference in terms of the pre and post tests. And we all know that training and going for trainings is not the solution or the end to everything else. It's really about the application. So after we kind of like put everything together, we noticed that one of the things really to pay attention a lot is how do supervisors, team managers, heads of agency really look at training, supervision, coaching and follow up with staff, with the team members actually who are in this work, and how do they continue supporting the staff members in their team and then guiding them along and providing that moment of support at the right time. Yeah.
And in your youth center, young people come together, they play together, they do exercises, they do different things. So what do you do with the young people there, and how do you apply solution focus kind of in your everyday life at the youth center?
So one way that we try to apply is not so much of in terms of the program intervention. So one of the things that we hope to apply is in terms of the thinking and the philosophy of how we see young people, how we view and perceive them, and in the way actually that we engage the young people in the community. So a lot of agencies, of course, they do have amazing youth programs, but a lot of those programs are really for intervention. So meaning to say, they are selected based on certain criteria. Somebody send them normally to those programs, and the young person goes through the program and comes out, and off they go, right? Back to wherever they came from. But one of the things that we hope to be doing is not so much of that, but really more of applying SF as a center in the community. And then through the platforms that we provide and we run, we want to bring the young person into a system where in that SF is really embedded, you know, in the whole philosophy, in the way the program is being taught out, in the way the pieces are connected between the community, the young person, the resources in the community, the volunteers, the mentors that we bring in, the staff in terms of how they carry out the program, how they design the program, and how they create some of this program evaluation as well. Mm-hmm. So that is actually another piece of research that we are doing currently. So we are trying to find out what are the factors in the community that contributes or attributes towards positive youth development. And we want to be able to identify the elements or the factors in the community. So these factors could be the staff, it could be a grandparent, you know, in the family, it could be an agency that is downstairs their house, it could be anything actually, but we want to know and find out from the community, from a young person's point of view. Yeah.
And how do you do that?
It will be actually a 3-year long project that we'll be doing. So we will be working it out in phases, and we want to see how we can start first with our community here. We want to onboard different stakeholders, grassroots, other community agencies. We want to onboard residents staying in this community. And of course, the young person themselves, so that they want to have a stake in it. Ownership really is one of the key things, that they want something for themselves, and we want to see how we could kind of like align it such that it's also what they want for themselves and their community, which is really SF in that sense.
Yeah. And ownership is a really important concept and important in what you do, and also how your youth center looks like, because kids can also decide, and do you really connect with them on things that they like to do, like dragon boat races or the gym or the basketball or other activities. So how do you support those young people in really becoming owners of what they want?
So actually, one of the key ideas that we actually encourage our whole team, actually all members, it starts first with how we position ourselves, that we are not the experts, that we're not here to just run a program and put people through. We are here really to engage, to partner with the young person So the whole idea of inviting them onto this process together, giving them a choice. So one big concept that we actually try to build our programs around is youth participation. So that idea comes in the sense of young people needs to be invited. They need to want to participate. So we cannot have that assumption that simply because we plan, you must come, or because it's free, you must come. You know. So we need to understand that young people are just like any adults. In fact, they're even smarter than some adults. You cannot just trick them to some freebies and they will show up, they won't. So you need to be very mindful on the receiving side of the party, right? Whatever you prepare, is it in line with what they want? Is this the latest things that they're interested in? Does this meet any of their needs? You think they have a problem, but do they think they have, right? So some of these things have to be really thought through and invite them, get their inputs, even design. Some of the programs that we have, we even invite the young person to actually co-design, co-create with us program objectives. Of course, we have some things in mind, but the whole idea is we put it out there. We consult with the young person. So we bring the young person into the process of planning together.
Yeah. So really getting their perspective, being truly and honestly interested in what's important for them and what's useful for them, and then putting it together. This is, I think, a very beautiful story of what partnering with your client means.
And what are the latest things that young people like to do in your youth center and like to do with you and you like to do with them?
Actually, right now, sadly, because of the COVID situation, right now, some of the activities are being affected, I guess, across the board, not just in Singapore. But before this situation, I mean, really, it's just around actually activities, all range of activities. So in fact, we have got a full spectrum of activities from sports to arts to baking to mentoring, relationship building. So the thing is, we do recognize that every young person is unique. We can't have a cookie cutting, you know, session that they all come do one thing. So that's one thing that we recognize, that every young person is unique. So therefore, they have their preferences. Everybody has their own strengths, right? So we also want to respect that. So that's where we actually provide a spectrum of programs and activities. So it's up to you to actually choose what you best are interested in, what you are best in, and then we can start from there. So recently, we also are exploring using social media to integrate it into our engagement. We are still really at an early stage of exploring. And because of the COVID situation, we are really thinking how to integrate social media and the internet engagement together with our face-to-face engagement. So from online to offline.
And you've always been very active on social media. We see you doing push-ups with kids and then programs. We see you doing dragon boat races and sharing the fun, the success, the being together, the community. So really active. You should go to Facebook and connect with Joe Chen. You find the link in the resource section of this podcast. Very active. So what is different now in integrating social media in your youth program to maybe before?
I guess I just want to share one very interesting conversation that I had with my youth, whom I actually reached out to years back. So when I first reached out to him, he was 13 years old. And now he's in his early 20s. So we were just in contact all the way, and he gave me this very honest feedback. And he told me that, hey, bro, I tell you, that do you know that if you continue doing what you're doing, in 5 years or even in 10 years' time, the level of outreach that you will achieve is really very little. Because what more can you do? Run more programs? You know, the way you're doing, if you just do it and continue on for 5-10 years, the results you're achieving probably may even decline. Yeah. So he basically struck me in the head to really say that we cannot continue on engagement, our plans, our strategy to do the same things we have been doing 10 years before. And he basically just gave me one very clear message that you have to move in line and in time with what the trends of this current world is right now. And particularly, so you're talking about working with young people. And the in thing that they go to right now is social media. It's not picking up a flyer or going down to, you know, notice boards. It's no more that. So the thing that they do is pick up their phone, click on the Instagram and open it up. And so therefore, I must be there. And I must be there not just to connect the young people, but I must be there to connect with the rest of the world who is actually there as well, to tell them what I do, to share them what I do, and to inspire, to basically also to collaborate. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to take a shift around how I engage with social media, which I believe all of us do, right? But it's just a matter of what you use it for.
So we see a lot on Facebook of what you're doing. We see it on Instagram. Where else are the young people in Singapore with regards to social media?
Actually, a lot of them are still on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, these two platforms. Facebook will be probably more of the young adults to the adults population. And then, of course, Instagram will be a bit to the slightly younger generation. So these two platforms are still pretty current.
Mm. Now that's cool. And we really can see and let you know that what you're doing not only is reaching out to young people in your area, but inspiring a whole community of solution-focused practitioners all over the world, like us, for instance. So thank you very much for doing that.
Whenever Elfie saw your push-ups about 2 years ago, she said, I want to do them too. I want to do that. I want to be able to do that too. And now within such a short period of time, Elfie is doing so many push-ups. And so very, also very inspiring, not only what you do, but also how you share it and how you share your solution-focused elements also on social media.
Mm. We were talking earlier about your research project and where you put people through training and ask them before, ask them after the training, how solution focus influenced their practice. So I wonder, how did your practice change thanks to solution focus?
I think my practice has evolved over the years because I basically started learning SF in 2006. You know, around there. And I started from doing solution focus to being solution focused and basically embracing. So the earlier stages of my SF journey was a lot about, I need to do SF, I need to intervene, I need to apply it, and I need to make others do the same if possible. But I felt that over the years, after interacting with a lot of different more seasoned practitioners, that you cannot really make somebody solution focus. It's very hard. It's very hard because a lot of it is really a mindset. It's a philosophy that you really embrace and how you see, how you view, how you perceive, and how you appreciate basically people and lives and conversations. So it's not something that you could really do, but it's just how you embrace it and how you apply. And that's where the creativity happens. And that's where the interesting part of things happen.
Mm. Mm. And what does being solution focused mean for you in terms of being head of the youth services at Reach Community Services? So in your leadership position, how do you apply it there?
I think being as the head of my department, applying SF to me is really about not just applying SF to the clients, but it's also applying SF to my whole team, every single one. Yeah, my colleagues. Which is actually not a easy thing to do, I mean, honestly, because sometimes being in position, sometimes you have the tendency to just exercise some of your management powers that you have and you just make things happen, right? You get people to do things. But if you really be true to yourself and be true to SF, is how do you also apply SF in that context? I basically also tell my team that I don't really like them to call me boss. That's one. And sometimes I remind myself that they are the experts by calling them boss instead, you know, acknowledging that, hey, actually you are the expert too, because of whatever context situation you're in, I need to consult you instead, right? And basically to flatten the hierarchy in the team as well, from seniors, myself, to the juniors, even to my last person in the team, who is actually the maintenance officer of my center. So he cleans the toilet, he cleans the floor, you know. So it's a culture and it's a philosophy that comes into play in people relationship. in daily conversations, in how you treat another person with respect.
It reminds me of a story of a colleague who I once called and I asked him a question. And he said, well, you know, I'm not doing solution focus anymore. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, I'm not doing it anymore. I used to do that, but not anymore. And he's a team leader. And I said, well, I don't believe that. So when was the last time you asked, you know, a scaling question, for example? Oh, well, yesterday, of course. When was the last time you asked someone about the preferred future? Well, just today in the other meeting. Okay, when was the last time you started the meeting differently and maybe asked for what worked well in the last week? Oh, I always do that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of being solution focused or just kind of embracing this approach in everyday life and all the aspects is such a beautiful thing. And especially when people also forget that it's just natural for them to do that, to do it in such a way. So it just reminded me of being solution focused can also mean that just normal to you and normal in everyday life.
Yeah.
This also brings me to the question, what would your colleagues and team members or employees say that you are doing that is solution focused?
I often get this, but they will normally just say, I'm just doing my thing. And after a while, I don't know what is my thing anymore, but I'm just being myself. And I find that being myself actually helps. Yeah, it puts people at ease because I'm not doing solution focus. I'm not hammering you with solution focus. I'm just being myself, you know. And if you cannot accept me, then okay. I mean, that's another story that we can have a chat about. But yeah, really, I'm just being myself. And this is how I see things. This is how I view people. This is how I view situation and clients. And we can have a honest conversation about that. And if you cannot accept, then it's okay. I can respect your differences as well. So I'm just doing my thing.
Recently, you shared on the SFT list a youth resource pack. Mm-hmm. And we were really thrilled to see that, not only because of the content, but also because of the way it was made. So What is the Youth Resource Pack all about?
We actually create and designed that resource pack because when I was actually doing my own research around on the internet, I was trying to find something similar for young people. So I found a children version of it, which was done, I believe, by our European colleagues, but I couldn't find one for the youth population. So we decided that, hey, since we are so much into youth work and working, engaging young people through casework counseling programs and so on, why not we have something? Because I also want to make it easy for first my staff team to be able to engage with the young people. Secondly, I also want to make it easy and palatable to the young person who is on the receiving end to not just have talk therapy, yeah? Because talk therapy can be quite boring actually for a young person. So I wanted something that will engage them. So that's where we decided to create this resource pack, and we wanted to make it available, easily accessible and available to anyone in the world with internet. So we put this as an e-copy. So the whole idea of this resource pack is designed and built around the elements of a SF coaching conversation, starting from goal formulation all the way to identifying small steps, building on resources, tapping onto what they already know, and building onto, you know, what preferred future. So we created this resource pack and make it, design it in a way that is sensitive to the youth culture as well. So we made sure that the youth lingo, current icons are being used, things like superheroes, things like you'll find in there, even games and activities that can easily be, you know, bring across that point that you want to, can be talking to a young person about. So we did that and we hope that it can be used by anybody. We have it in the English version and I invited one of the SF Lydia to actually help to translate it into Polish. So we actually also have it in the Polish version. So it would be great to see anybody else who wants to translate it into any other languages.
I was just thinking about that. And how do you use this package with young people? So do you give them the pack and say, do it? Or are you working that out together with them? So how does this work in practice?
Right. So how this works out in practice is Actually, from this one resource pack, it sprung off into many other program packs that we actually along the way designed. Because one of the things that we do a lot is actually we run a lot of group work with different stakeholders. So like the schools, the prisons, different groups of young people. So every stakeholder has got their own agenda and objectives. And therefore, we have to customize. Quite a lot of customization happens for each run of the group work. So when I designed this resource pack, this serves as a foundation because from there, then the other programs can actually tweak and edit from this so-called original pack. And the scaling exercise could be tweaked. The envision your miracle picture can be tweaked. So the whole idea is from this one little exercise that we did, it sprung off into many other so-called initiatives of different programs that we customize for other stakeholders. So when we run the group work or the session, these materials or resources then comes hand in hand when we actually engage the group of young people, when we facilitate, when we ask them to reflect. These are materials, resources that can be used in session and even post-session actually.
So you're not only talking with them and to them, but they're also writing and drawing and using those resources to formulate their preferred future, what works for them in their way that works for them.
Yeah, yeah. So really hoping to engage with the young person's five senses as much as possible. Yeah, because in certain settings, really like example, the prison setting, we really cannot do a lot in there. We only have got the four walls. We got the young people sitting in front of us. So we really have to think out of the box and how do we still run, plan an engaging session. So some of these materials really do help, you know, when we place before them materials that at least add some colors into their life. Settings like those really is helpful.
You mentioned earlier your preferred future for REACH Community Services to be the place to go when it comes to work with young people in Singapore. And I guess you mentioned quite some things that also show you that you're on your way to come closer to this preferred future. So I wonder, how will you notice that you achieved your goal, your preferred future, and are the place to go in Singapore for youth work?
I think one of the most obvious will actually be that my team will have something to share and to show when it comes to SF and not just me. So I think we have arrived there when the team themselves have things to show, have got things to be able to actually let others learn from, you know, in terms of best practices, in terms of what works with young people and what works has actually been infused with SF ideas, SF approach. So my team members, that's one. And two is that we are able to actually show what works, which means research, which means data collected and data being analyzed. So it's very easy to just sell and say that this works, that works, you know, but it's a different thing when we systematically begin to study and understand that what actually helped us to reach there. And of course, I wouldn't say that we have the formula, but I'm just, you know, hoping that we can better understand the process from the client's point of view, of course, and see how we could better serve the clients from their perspective with data. And I think the other one would be that the larger SF community begins to know what we do and what we have got to offer. So we hope to also be connected with the larger SF community in the world all around. So we want to learn from our European colleagues, from yourselves, you know, from friends in States, and also really, really have a very active with internet, I believe it's possible, you know, to exchange ideas and share best practices and really be the melting pot of a lot of latest findings, latest research.
As I hear, really staying curious about what works in your work and what works for the people you work with. So I really would love to highlight that again, because this is, I think, such an important message that is easy to talk when it comes to one client. And I think it's much harder to do when it comes to a group of humans that's, well, young people. So it's not so specific as my single client, where it's quite easy to see his uniqueness, but to find out what's important for, I don't know how many hundred young people who are all unique, and to engage with them and to develop programs that are useful and make a valuable difference in their lives. This is really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see that we're all connected through the internet, that we can have this podcast with you today, that we can share this message, and hopefully many people will reach out to you and you can really grow as a community of people working with young people together and learn from their best practices and learn together on your way.
Yep.
So when looking back to your way and to your solution-focused journey, you mentioned a few things already, how your practice evolved. And when looking back to your solution-focused journey again, if there's one thing that you find especially relevant for others that might be interesting, might be something that they could learn from, might be inspiring for them, that you learned that was essential to you, what could that be?
I think one thing that I've learned is to do SF, you really have to be constantly being humble. It's really not knowing, you know, so it's not a pretend to not know. It's actually how you really embrace wholeheartedly that know enough. So that the stance of not knowing, and particularly with young people who actually are in the stage of their life where they are accumulating knowledge, they're accumulating life experiences, they are growing so much faster, their brains are developing. And so when you work with this group of people constantly, day in, day out, you begin to realize that, hey, you really don't know a lot of things and they are really at the cutting edge of learning things. Right. So one thing that caused me to be constantly reminded is to do SF with this group particularly is to stay humble. You just have to stay grounded. Stay grounded in your practice. Be a useful human being to another human being. Don't try to, you know, breathe down their throats because it's not going to work. So just be curious and ask the right questions and just wait and see.
Thank you. So we would love to invite you to give a challenge of the week to our listeners now, may we?
Okay, so one of the challenge which I would like to share and which I gave myself is to put yourself out there on social media. Okay, put yourself out there on social media, especially so if you are an SF practitioner, because I believe that we as SF practitioners, we have got something that can change and that can shape the world, influence the world by a small step at a time. So I would encourage that if you could, during this week, to go onto social media out there, share something about yourself and your practice in SF, and feel free to tag me if you want. Yeah, I'll be very excited and happy to see, you know, and learn from you as well what you're doing. And just put it out there. Yeah, the more we put it out there, the more we could actually share and tell others what we do, the great stuff.
Yes, and tag all of us. We're excited to hear about that, to read about that, and to support you in making that even more visible. So thank you very much for this lovely challenge.
Thank you.
And to make your inspirations visible, please also go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to this episode and comment what was especially useful in this episode for you. What inspired you of what Joe said? What is one thing you may take with you and might make a difference in your future practice? So help us to see that and share that on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on other social media platforms, and also in the comments section of our podcast.
And of course, you will find Joe's contact details there as well, and all the resources we mentioned during the podcast.
It was an immense pleasure, Joe, to talk to you today. It's always an immense pleasure to see what you're doing. And we're so grateful that we have those social media platforms that we can join in on activities on the other side of the globe, you could say. We can join in to things in Australia, for example, in Singapore, in the US, in Africa, in Europe, wherever people are doing solution-focused things. And it's such a great message that you highlight, that we are a worldwide community. And the more we spread and the more we connect, we can get this message out there so they can be useful for people who might not have yet come in contact with solution focus, or have and might be inspired by what we all do and what you all do. So thank you very much for being on our podcast, Joe. Thank you very much for sharing your stories.
Yep, thank you for inviting.
We're looking forward to everything else, and of course also to your research and your research results that we are happy to share as soon as they're here. So thank you very much for everything, and goodbye.
Goodbye. See you.
Wow, what a great episode again. This was Simply Focused Podcast with Alfie Cherney and Dominic Godad. Your podcast for a life in joy and ease.